To start today's podcast episode, we're going to play a little bit of a game. I want to imagine that you've been given a task, and along with your task, you get $10,000. Now, your task is to buy the most beautiful handbag you can find, okay? You have to spend the $10,000 or as much of it as you possibly can. Otherwise, the rest of the money just disappears. It gets flushed down the drain or given to someone that you absolutely hate, okay? Are you up for your task? Great. If you don't like handbags, then that's okay. You're buying for someone else instead. Now, I'm going to talk you through two websites, and I want you to think about which one of these two websites you would be most likely to spend your money with, okay? Now, firstly, I want you to think about your criteria. What sort of handbag would you be looking for, and what sort of signals would you be looking for to ensure that you were going to get the best possible handbag for your $10,000? Okay, are you ready? The first website, and you may or may not know this, depending on your demographic, is Chanel.com, okay? Now, on the Chanel handbags page, I'm going to explain what it looks like for those who are listening. And by the way, if you want to watch the video version of this, you can do so on the Exposure Ninja website. This website starts with a background video playing, and the background video is runway models walking along a runway, holding Chanel handbags. This looks like a really high-end fashion show. The lighting is absolutely beautiful. There's loads of people in the room building huge amounts of sort of authority and positioning about these handbags. They really look super exclusive. They look amazing in the lights. There's a headline that comes over this background video that says, "The Chanel Handbag." Okay, now if we scroll down the page a little bit, we see a number of handbags. These are like, I guess, product categories or individual products. And the headline is essential. Each Chanel handbag bears iconic codes, constantly reinterpreted, and expresses the allure of Chanel. The product photography is exactly what you would expect. It's super high end. Now, if we scroll down a bit further, we see the campaign. And this is Brad Pitt and Penelope Cruz out for dinner, and they're smiling into each other's eyes, and then they're driving some classic car, and they're playing on the beach, and they've got their Chanel handbag front and center throughout. The message: buy this, you're going to be like Brad and Penelope. Scrolling down further, we see information about the different elements of a Chanel handbag. The quilting, we've got iconic codes, the metal and leather strap. We've got lots of pictures of each of these individual elements designed to look really high-end. Then we've got a video showing the manufacturing process. And what we're seeing here is loads of people handcrafting these bags. We're seeing the beautiful materials. We're seeing them, you know, being shown up close, whatever. Further down, we've got some subcategories. Then we've got the call to action, discover more in boutiques, or contact an advisor. Okay, so that's Exhibit A. That's the first website that you have to choose from in order to spend your $10,000 on the best possible handbag you can. Now, in this second example, very different. Here we're on Temu.com, T-E-M-U.com. We're on a page that is a very, very compressed e-commerce category page. What I mean by compressed is we can see loads of items here. Now, the pricing is between sort of $15 and $27 is the most expensive one I can see. There's lots of big orange buttons. There's countdown timers saying special sale. There's prices in orange with 5,200 sold, 8,000 sold, only 6 left, only 11 left. Someone just added this one to their cart. Some of these have got thousands and thousands of reviews. If you scroll down this page, there are dozens and dozens of handbags. You can click to see more and you get dozens and dozens and dozens more. Okay, you can choose by colors, you can choose by material. The first material listed is PU, polyurethane, plastic. Right, we got our two websites there. You understand the brief. You've got your $10,000. Which one are you spending on? Pretty obvious, right? So what we're not talking about here is we're not talking about handbags. We're not talking even about e-commerce. What we're talking about is those communicated and implied signs of all sorts of messaging that help us to work out where we want to spend our money, where we want to buy from. And this is all situational. I gave you $10,000 and said you had to spend as much of it as you possibly can. If you were shopping for a costume for a fancy dress that was going to be at a show and I gave you $27 to buy a handbag, your criteria would be completely different. You'd listen to that description of the Chanel page and say, this does not sound like something I could get any product for $27. So in that case, the team you want to be far more appealing, okay? So the point of this isn't your brand needs to be like Chanel. The point of this is that your website and your brand communicate things to your target audience, both explicitly and also implicitly through things like color scheme, through visuals, through layout of your page, even how much white space is on your website. All of this combines to give, in some cases, the worst case is some businesses, some websites give their customers the ick because they communicate the wrong thing. In other cases, the positive case is that your customers resonate really deeply with your business and your proposition and your offering and your positioning because of these tells on your website. This is what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to show you, or I'm going to talk through lots of different examples, including some that we've worked on at Exposure Ninja, to help businesses improve their conversion rate and improve their customer value by going through some of these sort of unknown tells. The ones I've explained today just so far with the Temu versus Chanel, it's incredibly obvious. But in my experience and in our experience at Exposure Ninja, for most businesses, these tells are actually a lot more subtle. And they're also dependent on where your customers are at based on your business. So there's no universal right or wrong answer here. It's all about what's right for your customers. I love this topic. We've got loads of case studies. Let's go.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast. My name's Tim Cameron Kitchen. I'm the founder of Exposure Ninja. We're a digital marketing agency, and I'm very excited because we're about to sign one of our favorite brands to become a client of Exposure Ninja. Can't tell you too much yet, but it's freaking awesome. Anyway, today we're talking about how to communicate via your website. I don't really know what we're calling this topic yet, but I would expect this is going to be something like how not to give your customers the ick. Because that's the negative case of this, right? In some cases, and in fact, let me just tell you a story about where this whole service came from, which kind of explains what it does. So we, for a long time at Exposure Ninja, we built websites, we did conversion rate optimization, and we drove traffic to these websites through SEO, content marketing, pay-per-click, social media, email marketing, that type of thing. And what we noticed is when we got a new client for, say, SEO, content marketing, and PPC, we would work really hard to increase their traffic, get more qualified visitors onto their site. But we found sometimes that the website just wasn't converting people. So what we would do is we added a conversion rate optimization service where we'd have a look and see how this traffic is performing on the site, where people are falling off. This would allow us to make tweaks to things like the layout or to add credibility or to improve the calls to action on the page. And for a lot of businesses, that really helped. That helped unlock the conversion rate and they got more conversions. But we did notice that for some businesses, even the conversion rate optimization just wasn't enough. There was something that was preventing these websites from converting. And what we found is it was actually more fundamental than just, oh, you know, we need to change the layout of this page and we need to say this and we need to say that. Actually, there was something about the branding and the positioning of the business that really was turning customers off. It was preventing people from converting. Now, that's an extreme case where you're actually getting very few conversions. To an extent, this happens for every business though, where they're not getting as many conversions or they're not getting the right types of leads or customers because of branding and positioning. And I'm not just talking about the logo or the color scheme, although of course that does play into it. I'm talking about how the business is presented online, what it looks like, those first impressions, those subtle cues that may even be unconscious, but tell us whether a business is low cost or high cost, that tell us whether a business is incredibly personalized or incredibly unpersonalized, that tell us whether something is commoditized or bespoke. All of these things contribute to your conversion rate. And it can just look like, oh, you know, this website performs really well or this one performs really poorly. But actually, there's a lot of this stuff that's underlying that. So what we're going to talk about today is three main areas that you can impact this. So three main areas that we cover in our Brand Accelerator service, which can help you fix this, which can help you improve the performance of your website. And I'm going to explain some examples that we've worked on. I'm going to explain some other examples articles that I just found around online because they illustrate some of these points really well. The first thing that we're going to talk about is visuals. Visuals are obvious. We all judge books by their covers. It doesn't matter how many times we're told not to. That's actually what book covers are for. We judge everything on sight because imagine if walking around and trying to live your life, you weren't able to judge things on sight, right? Imagine opening your fridge and you take out some raspberries and you're not allowed to judge whether those raspberries are safe to eat or not with sight. You have to taste them first because it would be too judgmental of you to look at a raspberry that's green and white and covered in fur and say, that doesn't look like it's for me, okay? You have to taste it first because don't judge books by their covers, right? This is ridiculous. We can see that we are all hardwired to judge things based on their appearance. So obviously it's very important that your business is also ready to be judged on its appearance and on the appearance of its website because this is exactly what is going to happen. So of course, we need to make sure that our business and our website is some base level of attractiveness. But this isn't just like, oh, you know, you have a really expensive brand or you win loads of design awards, because actually attractiveness has context, okay? What looks attractive for a discount retailer looks very different to being attractive for a luxury retailer. And if the discount retailer looked like the luxury retailer, guess what? The conversion rate would be super low because everything would look too expensive. It wouldn't be attractive to the discount shopper. So this concept of attractiveness is situational, it's context dependent. Let me talk you through one example. So this is a client that we worked with. They actually sell software and they sell software called LIMS or Laboratory Information Management System. So this software basically helps laboratories to manage the projects that they're running, to collect and use their data and all that type of stuff. Now, when we first started working with them, I'm going to be brutally honest, their website didn't look that attractive at all. And this is really important for software businesses because people are judging software based on how it looks. That's the first way that we judge software. But they're also judging the software based on how the business looks. If you are good at design, that really helps. That helps the value that you're able to charge. That helps with how many customers are going to sign up. So the fact that this website was relatively unattractive, the background images above the fold were pretty unappealing. The headline was Wavefront LIMS or LIMS, the science behind the solution. There's no description there at all. There was a little illustration, but it really looked kind of pixelated and not great. And there was a very small amount of information, and that was kind of it. The single call to action on the page was schedule a demo. And unfortunately, most people were voting no thank you. So what we did is we helped them redesign some of the elements of this page. We helped them make it more attractive, not just more attractive generally, but more attractive to the target audience, which is people who own and operate laboratories. So the headline, instead of Wavefront LIMS, became the efficient and configurable LIMS for your laboratory, because we found that efficient and configurable were the things that their customers wanted. And I'll explain how we did that in the third section, where we talk about getting customer feedback. We then talked about the fact that this software is cutting edge. We explained what it was able to do. We explained some of the sectors that they were specialist in, because we want to give customers the impression that, I'm in the right place. We then gave some reviews. We gave some of the partnerships that they have, some of the awards that they've won. We showed the team on the homepage, which is really important for a business like this, where relationships and knowing that there are real people behind the software can be a real selling point. We said we offered people some demo videos to see how the software works. We showed the software in action. We showed some of the features. We showed loads and loads of information on this homepage, all designed to be really attractive to the target customers. And we identified what would be attractive to target customers by actually talking to the customers. So this is really important. We're going to talk more about being attractive to your customers versus just being attractive later on. I wanted to give you another little game to play as well, because just to show that this isn't just, you know, what's attractive in one business might not be attractive in another business. Let's say that you're going to go and have some aesthetic dentistry done, maybe your cosmetic dentistry. You're going to have your teeth straightened or whitened. I mean, your teeth look absolutely beautiful, but let's say that you're going to take them to the next level. You might be looking for a dental clinic to do this. And I'm going to explain two websites now and see which one you feel most attracted to. So the first example, it says about the Parks Dental and Skin Clinic. There's a little CTA to get in contact. Then it says meet the team. Now this team look really friendly. They all have amazing teeth as well. They look very professional. They're nice photos. Everyone's nicely laid out, well presented. Then we've got a section at the bottom that says, how can we help you? You can book a consultation. There's another section that says you're in safe hands. It tells you a bit about the clinic. Then you can sign up for exclusive discounts. The page is beautifully laid out, really nicely designed site, few CTAs in the header as well. So if I'm looking for, you know, cosmetic dentistry, I want to know that the team who are doing the cosmetic dentistry also have great teeth. I want to know that I can trust them. I want to feel safe, and I feel completely safe on this page. Let me talk about another one. So this one has generic stock photos above the fold. It's underneath that, there's a picture of their clinic, which the hedge has been nicely cut outside, but being completely honest, this clinic looks like a mid-last century house. It doesn't look massively attractive. The team might be fantastic. The service might be absolutely incredible. It might be a brilliant, brilliant business, but how it looks is not so great. Okay, there's a bit of information about the clinic, but it's all very, very generic. Honestly, it feels like it could have been written by ChatGPT. There's nothing specific here. No pictures of people, nothing at all. So, which one is more attractive? Well, clearly the first one is more attractive, and it does a much better job of allaying all my concerns and sort of meeting me where I'm at. It gives me what I'd need in order to be able to convert on this site and to at least consider that first practice in my choices. Okay, so visuals is important. We know that's important. By the way, if you're listening to this thinking, I'd really love a sort of a third party opinion on how visually attractive my website is and whether I need to make a change, whether I need a new website, whether I need it tweaked, then you can request a free website and marketing review from the team here at Exposure Ninja. If you request this free review, you need to go on our website to do it at exposureninja.com. But you'll see that there's a request form. You fill in that form. We ask you a bit of information about your business. What then happens is that information goes to one of our marketing consultancy teams. They look at your website, they look at your competitors' websites to compare. They also have a look at how each of you is driving traffic to your site as well. And then we put all of our recommendations about the things to focus in the next 6 to 12 months into a video, which we send to you usually within 3 to 5 working days. This service is completely free and it is incredible. Not everyone is eligible for the free review, so you do need to request it, and you can request it at exposureninja.com/review, but it's definitely worth doing if you haven't already. Okay, the next element that we're going to talk about in this, how do you give customers the ick, or how do you make them fall in love with you just based on your website, is the offer. So what's the thing that you're offering on your website? Now, we've talked about this a fair few times before, so I'm not going to go into loads of detail here, other than to say your website can be absolutely beautiful. It can be beautiful to your target customers. It can say all of the right things. Even that, it can still fail. It can still have a low conversion rate if you're not properly incentivizing people to take that next step with you. For e-commerce businesses, this is about incentivizing the purchase, but it's also about incentivizing email signups. Now, for service businesses, for lead generation businesses, this is about what do we offer people? The first step in your sales process, how do we get people into that sales process? And a nice call to action with an incentivized offer is a great way of doing this. So if your current CTA is like talk to sales, it's going to be a no from me. Again, let me talk you through an example of a client that we've worked on this with, and we worked on this with our brand accelerator service. So we actually used their customer feedback to inform the CTAs that we recommended they put on their website. So this business sells granite and marble countertops. Great business, lovely people, based in Georgia in the US. And when we first met them, their website had 2 calls to action, which isn't a bad idea. It's got one, which is a button for contact us today, and the other one was a phone call CTA, call us on, and then it's got their number. That's not the worst thing in the world. This was above the fold, so it's 2 little buttons there that you could click whether, depending on whether you wanted to contact them or whether you wanted to give them a call. But the trouble is, there's no incentive to do that. There's no reason to do that. These are great for the business because the business is thinking, yeah, I just want contact forms and I want phone calls. That's what I want. That's what I want to give my sales team. But for a potential customer, why would I do either of these things? Particularly if they're given to me above the fold before I've even had a chance to establish whether this business would be a good fit. So what we did is we worked with them to improve the performance of these by also choosing different CTAs and giving people more information above the fold. So in the after version of this website, we have a nice, clean above the fold section. There are some Google reviews so people can see credibility. We've got some USPs as well, communicated nice and clearly. We've got a great headline establishing people are in the right place. We've got a bit of description, including get your free quote in 24 hours. We then have two calls to action still. These are schedule an appointment. So if you just want to go meet someone or speak to someone. And then we've also got request a free quote. So how did we come across these? Well, we spoke to the customers and we worked out what they would want to see. And then we just offer the customers what they want. Okay. So very different CTAs, but designed for the customers, sort of reverse engineered from what the customers would want to see. What else do I have to say on CTAs and offers? Obviously, it's going to depend on your business. If you're e-commerce, then this is going to be about incentivizing the free email sign up or whatever you're doing to collect email sign up so that you can run abandoned cart sequences and that type of thing. But again, work from your customers and go backwards. Don't just have sign up for the newsletter, because what's the perceived value of the newsletter? Very low. We need to think about what's going to have a high perceived value so that we can really motivate our customers to go against their judgment, sign up for your emails, even though they're taking a risk that they might get loads of spam from you. Obviously, they're not going to, but they don't know that yet. So we need to make sure that we've given them enough of an incentive to do that, that they feel that this is a safe option. Okay, the third thing that we're going to talk about is this customer connection. So I've mentioned a couple of times actually talking to your customers. It can't be overstated how important this is. And very few people think about this when they're thinking about branding, positioning, or their websites or conversion rate optimization. In fact, I've been in the process of buying some digital marketing agencies, and I've spoken to around 100 or so different digital agencies over the last 6 months, including a lot of them in branding, including in website development, design, and these types of things. And the number of these types of agencies that I've ever spoken to one of their clients' customers is, I could count them on one hand, right? It's not uncommon for a business to have all of its branding completely redesigned without a single customer ever being consulted. Think at how crazy that is. Right, a lot of these agencies have a super creative director, and that person is responsible for the whole process, and what they say goes. And the brand is in awe of this creative director. The agency is in awe of this creative director. They determine who lives, who dies, which ideas are implemented or not. Not the customer. The customer is nowhere near this decision. And that just seems crazy to me. We talk to clients all day. We'll talk to clients and they tell us one thing. We talk to their customers, they tell us a completely different thing. So when you're so close to your business, when you're so close to what you do, sometimes it can be difficult to actually stay connected to what your customers and how your customers are feeling. Not to mention the fact that if you're in the marketing team, you might not actually talk to customers on a daily basis. So you don't necessarily always know what's most important to your customers, what your customer selection criteria are. So it's really important that when we're doing this type of work, we try and talk to the customers if possible. And we'll sometimes do focus groups, we'll sometimes do research. You know, if it's a very popular brand and there's a lot of feedback, we can do this research on Reddit or social media sites or in Facebook groups, because you see a lot of people talking about brands, you see a lot of people sharing what's most important to them. And that's really useful to get calibrated to the eventual audience of this. So something that a client thinks is really important about their business, for example, might actually be not important at all. Let me give you another example, and then we're going to play a game. So another example, this is a business that we worked with on their branding and positioning through the Brand Accelerator program. And they're a custom PC builder, lovely, lovely business, a very small custom PC builder in the UK. And when they came to us, they had a website, which I'm going to be completely honest, wasn't that attractive and looked fairly generic. So custom PC building website with loads of pictures of custom PCs that you could buy. This was a fairly standard e-commerce layout, just lots and lots of pictures of PCs that you could click through and buy, which is fine, but if you know exactly what you want, you might just click and buy one, but that's quite a commoditized sale. Well, when we spoke to their customers and we spoke to them as well, we found out actually that very few of their customers just clicked and bought. Most of their customers spoke to them first, and they spoke to them because they weren't necessarily an educated customer in this space. Many of them have never bought a custom PC before. They wouldn't know where to start. They wouldn't know what components they needed. They wouldn't want to get it wrong, because if they were buying this as a gift for their son or daughter, for example, they didn't want to get their son or daughter a brand new custom PC only to find it couldn't run the games that their son or daughter played. So this was a really consultative sale. It wasn't a standard e-commerce sale at all, but the website was presented as a standard e-commerce website. So we helped them refigure this. And instead of just having a list of products above the fold, now the website says custom PCs done right. Find out why we're reviewed more highly than PC Specialist, which is the number one in the space. Then the CTA, get expert help configuring your custom PC, because that's actually what their potential customers want. They want the help. And it's the personal service of this business that is the real selling point, not the fact that they've got a whole bunch of custom PCs with lights on, because guess what? All of their competitors have that. So this is about that customer connection, finding out what's most important to that customer. We're going to play another game. I did promise you we'd be playing a game. This time, you're going to be imagining, this is a bad situation, that you've just had a really threatening letter. You're the CMO, or you're even the CEO of a business that's just had a very threatening letter from someone who is accusing you of false advertising, and they're saying that they're going to take you to court or they're going to sue you. This might be a local authority or someone like that. Okay, terrifying, right? The first thing that you're going to want to do is find a really good specialist lawyer who knows this area, who can help you. Okay, so I want you to think about what you would want to see on the website of one of these lawyers in order to reach out and get in contact. And then I'm going to talk you through a couple of pages. So on this first page, venable.com, and I have no affiliation with either of these, by the way. They're not Exposure Ninja clients, never spoken to them to my knowledge. So if they're listening, then I am sorry. Okay, venable.com, they have a page about their advertising and marketing specialist service. The sort of intro copy says, with a national full-service team, Venable's advertising and marketing attorneys provide pragmatic advice and strategies for establishing, protecting, and growing your unique brand. There's then, I would say, let's see how many page scrolls on desktop. 1, 2, 3 page scrolls of copy. It's very, very long. And then we have view other advertising and marketing services. You can click if you want to have a look at automatic renewal law, brand and contact protection, food and beverage law. Then there are some other related practices. Okay, it's a nice looking site. It's very clean. There are no people above, you know, 5 page scrolls. Okay, so this feels incredibly impersonal. There's no CTA at all. There are no signs of credibility anywhere other than the fact that this looks very high-end. It looks good quality. So that's the first example. The second example is olshanlaw.com. Again, no affiliation. This website doesn't look anywhere near as nice. It's more compressed though, so you can see more information. There's an opening testimonial quotation that says efficient, thorough, and highly professional. And that's from the Legal 500 United States. So that's a very high credibility statement, which is a great way of building and establishing trust. Then we've got a bit of information. Olshan's nationally recognized advertising, marketing, promotion practice, blah, 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 proactivity, blah, 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 all that type of stuff. And then we've got some copy with some of the specific areas inside advertising and marketing that they work on. But I think the crucial piece in all of this is above the fold on the right-hand side, you actually have a practice contact, Andrew B. Lustigman. You can see his phone number, you can see his email address. He's smiling, which I think is great. He's not crying and he's not running away. He's not being chased. He's not wearing handcuffs. This is good, right? I think that when you're in this sort of situation, you want to find someone who can put you at ease. You want to feel safe. You want to feel like you're in good hands. So yes, having a good looking website that's sharp and nicely promoted, that helps. But also seeing someone, seeing a face, a specialist, seeing that that person is ranked in the Chambers list, that they're a leading firm, seeing that they're ranked in the best lawyers 2024, all of this builds your credibility and your trust. Now, neither of these websites, I would say, are particularly good for generating leads for this. They would want to be doing other things as well. They'd want to have specific reviews about this particular service. They would want to have a specific call to action. So what's the next step in my sales process? For some reason, no lawyers or no sort of large corporate law firms ever have a clear CTA on their website at all. It's almost like they don't think of this as a sales process when it most definitely is a sales process. You want to have some way of making it clear what the next step is going to be. Are people going to get an initial consultation? Are they going to get some advice? Are they going to get a game plan for their case? You can offer that, but very, very few do. So this just goes to show that without that customer connection, without talking to those customers, finding out what their particular motivations are for action or inaction, it's very difficult to communicate those things on the website and actually truly push someone to go to that next step in your sales process. So I hope you found these examples useful. I'd encourage you to look into these three areas. Firstly, the visuals of your website. Just be absolutely brutal. Does your website communicate the things that it needs to do? That sort of personality. You know, when you look at someone and you can kind of imagine what their personality would be, doesn't work with everyone, but you can do it with certain people, right? You can do exactly the same with a website, but is your website communicating the right personality for your business? Secondly, that offer. What's the next step thing that we're offering? And is it attractive and is it incentivizing enough? And then thirdly, customer connection. Have you actually made these decisions based on talking to your customers? Or has someone just plucked them out of thin air, or some fancy creative director decided that this is the direction we're going to go in, regardless of whether or not it actually resonates with your customers? I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, please do leave us a review and a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening. We absolutely love it. And don't forget, you can watch the video version of this and all of our episodes over on the Exposure Ninja YouTube channel. Just go onto YouTube and search for Exposure Ninja and you will find us. Until next time, see you soon.